CRC 2020. Hallelujah. So, Matthew 28, quickly. Matthew 28.
I don't feel like carrying mic today. I feel like preaching.
No. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching.
Amen.
So once the mic can carry, keep picking up. Hallelujah.
Matthew 28. Glory to God.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Hallelujah. So he says, go make disciples. Go make disciples. We've already said, that word is the Greek word matitio. It means go enroll one in a citadel of learning. That's the word. And say, go make disciples. It means go make students. Hallelujah. Students. Go make students. Go make students. That word matitio, it's used for how a child is nurtured to becoming a scholar. Look at God's plan for us. Hallelujah. How a child is nurtured to be a scholar. Meaning in being born again, we are all made students. If a professor becomes born again, he is a student. Are you following that? So, in being born again, a man becomes a student. Are you following me? And last week, before CLC, we said, when you hear student, you don't ask student of who? Of a student of what? We say student of Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. So, Jesus uses the word matitio. That word disciples. That word matitio is where we have the word matitis from, which is disciples. So, the word disciples is not a Jesus coined word. That word disciples is a regular word in his days. Hallelujah. Just like we have the word student today. So when Jesus said, go make disciples, if we are to translate it today in our word, it means go enroll them in school. Make them students. Go make students of my resurrection. That's what Jesus is saying. Hallelujah. Go make students. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I've commanded you. Meaning, he tells you discipleship will be done by teaching. Hallelujah. Discipleship will be done by teaching. So, you know, the way we say it, double wahala for dead body. No, right, well, no, I'm saying that. A man who goes to church and doesn't go to church to learn, doesn't go to church when he's disciple to know Christ. You know that when I go to church, so I can just express myself to God. I go to church to express myself. Just go to church to dance. You know, that's what people, all they do in church is how to dance. They practice it. So glory, thanksgiving, I will dance forward and push everybody back. That's what you've achieved in church. Be a good disciple. Hallelujah. No. Have you ever seen people like that before? When you just clap. Adura, shine microphone power. Adura, shine handset. Hey! Some people, that's the song that calms them up. It's the Holy Spirit.
Hello, hello. Hello, Jesus. Hello.
How was church today? Wonderful. What happened, man, with phone God, man? You see the way we dance. Even heaven knew that we're dancing. Come on. Jesus said, teaching them. A church, a gathering that has reduced teaching of God's word to the side. That have placed teaching of God's word as a side. How should they put it? As a bypass. You know, the pastor just called and said, "No, I don't have much to say today. When I was drinking tea this morning, the Holy Ghost sent me to tell you." He said, "Oh, pastors receive from the Holy Ghost." He said, "The Holy Ghost told me to tell you."
that you need to increase to increase.
You need to sow to increase so that you will not decrease. A man on a vision with a mission will not end up in destruction.
And I said, wow, that's what the Holy Ghost said, I should tell you. You know, tea time message. A church that has reduced the teaching of God's word to that is a church who has missed Christ, who has missed the mission, who has missed the vision, has missed it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A pastor who told me when I was eating biscuit, when I was taking tea, the Holy Ghost said, told me to tell you, it's a pastor that doesn't love you. No, he doesn't love you. Hallelujah.
Are you hearing me?
Say, teaching them. And we saw Jesus do that. When he resurrected, he taught them for 40 days.
He didn't come to meet them to do bazaar. They didn't come to do Thanksgiving or harvest of resurrection. They didn't do harvest of resurrection. Some people go to church. I remember when they used to share kunu in church. No, no, no. What has come over you? No. He said, teaching them. Jesus taught them for 40 days. Paul was there for the space of 2 years. Another time he said, for the space of 3 years, I taught you day and night. For 3 years. Day and night. He said, from house to house. Publicly and from house to house. That is a pastor that loves his people.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, teaching them. That word teaching is the word didaskalos. I mean, it's the word didasco, sorry. That's the word didasco, verse 20, didasco. A word that means the act of explaining is a verb. That word is a verb. It means the act of explaining is an action word. So when Jesus said teaching them, that means somebody will be found teaching. Are you hearing me? Someone will be found teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That word didasco, the act of teaching. That one has surrounding brothers.
Actually, one of the surrounding brothers is actually the root word. Where we got the word didasco from. That is the word didache. And didaskalia. These are Greek words. Hallelujah. Didache.
Now, when you hear the word didache, didache
is the word that means the act of explaining what is being explained. I mean, sorry. It means how what is being explained is explained. Are you hearing me?
The how of what is being explained. How is it being explained? Hallelujah. Didache. The mode of explaining it. If you look at Matthew 27, I quoted this on the part as a by-part last week. So we're going to look at it today. Matthew 7, verse 28.
Matthew 7, 28. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Satan is a liar. I thought I won't be here today. But I'm here. Glory to God.
Matthew 7, 28.
Glory to God. Now Jesus started teaching from chapter 5.
Are you here? Glory to God.
And I see CRC is loaded.
Woo! Glory.
Hallelujah. I know, yes, I know.
Matthew 7, 28. People hands are made strong. I'm made strong in these days. You know, from this CRC, you begin to, you know,
you've thought the work is looking as if there's no goal area, as in like a gray area somehow. Like, it's looking as if there's no direction.
Hallelujah. It's looking as if there's no direction. Yeah, but Benjamin, you know what I'm talking about. It's looking as if, what is the end of all these things? You try to preach to someone and, you know, you just get mixed answers. You don't know how to go about discipleship anymore. Those things just get you. So we talk about something, you know, the old thing just gets you, you know, those hands are made strong. Made strong. You know, as you leave CRC, you live decisively.
Amen.
You just know what to do next. You just know what to do next. You know that going forward, your discipleship will, you know, your going out to minister the world will be by the Holy Ghost. As if you know where you are going to, by the Holy Ghost, and souls will be one. And you keep at it. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You know, many more lights are shining around us. So you just need to stay at it. I'm not around this world. Don't allow it at all. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I feel like we should just have Holy Ghost meeting like this now. have a seat for a moment. Let's have a seat for a moment. What a conference, right? Woo! Glory to God. Are you with your Bible? Where were we? Okay, this Dutchie.
Hold yourself.
We have many more conference. We have many more Holy Ghost meetings.
Hold yourself. Oh, glory to God. You know what the Holy Ghost told me? Why? Preparing for this meeting. He said, there's no formula for the things of the Spirit.
No, sir.
He said, just go and allow the Holy Ghost to
move.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. That word, we're looking at the word didache, right? Matthew 7:28.
I'm there. So just what I'm teaching from chapter 5. What's it from chapter 5?
The Beatitudes.
We read chapter 6. It's the same teaching that went from chapter 5 to chapter 6 to chapter 7. And look at verse 28. And it was so. Now this was when he was done teaching it. It was so. When Jesus has ended all these things, that the people were astonished at his teaching. That word teaching is the word didache.
Hallelujah.
For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, he taught them as one having authority. Now that word authority there is what I mean. He taught them as though he was the author of the scriptures.
Hallelujah.
And I thought. So he said they were amazed at his teaching. That word teaching is the word didache.
Hallelujah.
Jesus taught them in a way. Now, in those days, they had people who teach scriptures, who are the Pharisees and the scribes. They tried to explain scriptures. Now, the Bible says he taught them. And they were amazed at his teaching. For he taught as one having authority, not like the scribes. Not like the scribes. Meaning that there was a way the scribes and the Pharisees were interpreting scriptures. Now, the scribes and Pharisees' technique were much. So they had a pattern of interpreting scripture. But Jesus' pattern was not that way. And the Bible says they were amazed at his teaching, at his way of explaining scripture. What scripture was he explaining? Genesis to Malachi. How the scripture was explaining. The Bible says they were amazed at how he explained scriptures. Look at chapter 6, just before chapter 5. I mean chapter 6, yes. Just before chapter 7. Look at verses 6. Verses 6. This is chapter 6 now. Sorry, a second. A second. Matthew 6. Oh, sorry. That was actually a mistake. Let's look at chapter 6, 10. Just give me a minute. Let me get that for us immediately. Okay. Chapter 16. Chapter 16, not chapter 6. Chapter 16, verse 6. Is it? And Jesus said to them, he said, take heed and beware of the living of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
He said, beware of the living of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Now, look at what they thought was what he was referring to when they had living.
But I said, they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have not taken bread?
Then Jesus said to them, oh man, oh you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the living of bread, but of the doctrines of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, beware of their doctrine.
Now what doctrine is the word didache? There are some people tell you, in my church we don't do doctrine, we just do come as you are. It's because you're not even in church. Because you don't know what is even doctrine. Doctrine means, didache means the mode of explaining scripture. Doctrine has got nothing to do with laws in your church. No, I hear me. Doctrine, you see, a church that doesn't teach doctrine is not a church, because church is built on doctrine. Hallelujah. What is doctrine teaching? Yes, doctrine. Hallelujah. So, now Jesus said, beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So when he uses the word didache here, he's telling you beware of how they explain scriptures. So that means part of what should be taught in discipleship should be what? How scriptures are explained. Are you hearing me?
How scriptures are explained. The mode of explaining scriptures.
There is a way scripture should be explained. In Acts 2.42, quickly.
Acts 2.42.
Quickly.
Acts 2.42, if you are there, I'm going to read very fast. Acts 2. Look at verse 42. The Bible says, now, concerning those, now, some people, 3,000 people were saved after Peter was on ministry. That's 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. In the apostles' doctrine. That word doctrine means mode of explaining scriptures. Meaning, what disciples were taught was how scriptures are explained. Can you see that? Can you see that? How scriptures are explained. So, a disciple must be taught how scriptures are explained. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Matthew 28. He says, go make disciples. Baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So, if you look at that word in Matthew 28, go make disciples. When he says that word, go make disciples, he says, remember we said it implies to what? Go make students, right? So where are students made? If you look at the background of that teaching, of that word, go make disciples, the background would be, you have a school there, because students are raised in a school. Hallelujah. School, in a school. Not on certain kind of schools, but there's a kind of school. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Not some certain kind of school. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Those who went to remote, who go to remote school. Akumba. Hallelujah. Abuja. Abuja News 9 was a village school. They know. Hallelujah. University of Gwalada. Oh, wonderful. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So, is it in a school? So there will be a school. So where will be that school? That school will be the local church, which is the assembly of believers. So meaning, where scriptures should be taught, should be where? In the assemblage of believers. Hallelujah. So what should they teach them? They should teach them how scriptures are explained.
Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So, better put, the church is a Bible school. You know, if the church is doing what it's supposed to do as church, just where we are, there will be no need for someone to say, I'm going to a Bible school. Because the church, the way the gathering was in the days of Paul and Peter, the church was a school. To come with all material, like the way you are, your Bible, your book. The church is the Bible school. You learn Bible in church. Not you are in a local church and you now say, I'm going for Bible school to become a pastor. Ha ha ha! No, you learn Bible in church. So the church is not 1 hour show. Where you wear a conco shoe and tie long hair. You come to show up all you have and you go home after 2 hours. But that was church, woo, wonderful. What is more about church today? Is the man that danced my ass out. He says, that's why you came to church. No, the church is where you learn scriptures. Hallelujah.
You
know, today, if we tell somebody, I was in church and I was studying for 2 hours, I was in touch with you, say, that church you go having a school you go, that lecture you go receive, they've missed it. Do you understand me? They've missed it. Someone said, where forceful tribes, truth becomes a rebellion. Truth will look like a rebellion. But that is the truth. Because falsehood is striving there. When truth comes, truth will be like a rebellion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the church was supposed to be a Bible school where we are taught how to explain scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Matthew 24, verse 25 to 27. So, the church is where we learn how scriptures are explained. So, how are scriptures explained? Matthew 24:25. Jesus came to them and said, oh fools, look at your Bibles.
Matthew 24, verse 25. The man said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has said. Matthew 24, 25.
Oh, sorry, that's in Matthew? Luke 24, 25.
Oh, my. Luke 24, 25. Just came and said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophet has spoken. He said, Up not the Christ to suffer this thing and to enter into his glory. He said, Beginning at Moses. Look what Jesus is doing. He said, Beginning at Moses. Where is Moses? Moses is Genesis. So he says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, what he says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Genesis to what? Malachi. Did you see that? So how did Jesus explain it? Concerning himself. Look at verse 4. And he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. That all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses. Law of Moses will be Genesis. I've shown us that, right?
Yes, sir.
Which are written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets, which is to Malachi. Right? Concerning whom? Right? Right? Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How did Jesus explain scripture for 40 days? Concerning himself. Matthew 5:39.
And to follow that, it says, you search the scriptures.
What's that called now? I love Matthew. John 5:39. It says, you search the scriptures. Say, for in them you think you have eternal life. You search the scriptures. For them you think you have eternal life. Say, for these are they. Which are they? The scriptures are they which testifies of what? Me.
But you are not willing to come to what?
Did you see that? What of the scripture bear witness of? Christ. Are you following that? Are you following me? Verses 46.
I'll have a verse 45.
They do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. But there is one who accuses you. Say, even Moses in whom you trust. Say, if you have believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he did what?
He wrote concerning me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, how be it if you do not believe Moses? How would you believe my words?
Did you see that? So, when Moses was writing, Genesis 1:1, we are going to get there tomorrow, because in this teaching we'll be discussing, we are discussing believers' authority, heaven and earth. So we are discussing heaven and earth. So meanwhile, Moses went to Genesis 1:1 and he's writing, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you are looking at sky and sand, you are missing it. You must be seeing Christ. Jesus has given you how scriptures were written. He said he wrote concerning me. So meaning Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and the earth will be Christ.
Are you following it? Are you following that?
When he says, let us make man in our image, I am looking at Pastor Smart and Pastor Philemon and Pastor Kubi and your brother, your sister, your father, and your mother. Say, God created, you are missing. That means Genesis 1:26 will be what? Cast.
When it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded over the surface of the waters, it will be concerning Christ. I must see it as that. So just as made you see that you search the scripture, you think it, then you have eternal life. But this is the day that testify of me. If you have believed Moses, you will have believed me, for he wrote concerning me. So Moses' writing was concerning him. Romans chapter 16 verse 25. Let's rush down to Romans 16 25. I want you to see a lot of. So we are laying background for tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. Tomorrow first service. Hallelujah. Romans 16 25. Are you following that? Okay. So we'll do a lot of background laying today, because evening times are Holy Ghost meetings. So we'll do a lot of doctrine during the day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 16 25. Are you verse 25? It says, now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. What is since the world began? Genesis 1. What is the revelation of the mystery kept secret? Concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? According to the revelation, he calls it the mystery kept secret. That word kept secret means to be unknown. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, when we get to teaching understanding the gospel, you understand what I mean by low tone, right? Right? Those of us that are around, what is the low tone? The heart of man, right? Right? Hallelujah. Are you following that? This is how Jesus explains scriptures concerning himself. So you must see scriptures on that light. So when you begin to look at, remember I showed us something about seed sowing last week Sunday, right? When you begin to see seed sowing and you are thinking of money, when you hear seed, money. What is that penalty not throwing you? Hallelujah. Yes, now. He has called Escobar. You know, call Escobar. When you talk to your brother, you boom! Escobar. Hallelujah. In Barak, we don't call it Ongo, we call it Escobar. Hallelujah. Especially when you are playing monkey pose. Amen. Amen. If you don't know monkey pose, just don't worry. Great is the mystery of godliness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's move ahead. Look at Romans 1:1-4. Romans 1:1-4. Let's see something again concerning what we are looking at. It says, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God. He's calling, he's saying he's separated to the gospel of God. Look at what he calls the gospel of God in verse 2. It says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Where would that be? Genesis to what? Malachi. Are you following that? Holy Scriptures will be what? Then will be what? Genesis. Then, when Paul is writing, there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There was no Acts. There was no Roman. There was no Kori Kori. There is no First Corinthians. And you understand? What they had as Scripture is what? Genesis to Malachi. So, when Paul now says the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets, his prophet will be what? Moses, David, and all those prophets, down to Malachi. He says, in the Holy Scripture, Genesis to Malachi. What was the promise? Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So what did they write about? Concerning his son, Jesus Christ. That is what they were writing about. That was all they prophesied about. Hallelujah. Next week, Sunday, we'll get to see why Nathan in the New Testament was never called a prophet. All that are not called a prophet. Because we heard nothing he said. The result of those prophets you saw in the Old Testament, that were never called prophets in the New Testament. Why? Because he said nothing concerning what? Are you following that? Amen. 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 That's how you know a prophet. Now I promised us a teaching, the law and prophet, all these years. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. I believe God. Hallelujah. Not a joke, it will come to pass. At least, greater glory is coming to pass next week. Next 2 weeks. Amen. It's time we'll get there. It's a long haul. Amen. Did you see what he preached? Now look at Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews 1:1. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past. So the fathers through the prophets. Did you see that? God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners in time past spoke to the fathers through the. Okay, I guess I begin to round up now. Or as in this last day, spoken to us in his son. Right? Right? Whom he has made what? Heir of all things. What is the all things? It's not everything in the world. No. That word, remember I told you, when you use the word all, it's used to do what? It's used for what? No. The word all is used in context.
all these things, all the words of the prophets. So Jesus is the head of all the words of the prophets. But even without looking at head of all the words of the prophets, when it says last days, now when that word is used, last days, you know, people think when you hear last days, it means end of the world. No. No. In fact, most times in the originals, when you hear last days, that word days is usually not there. It's the translators that put days there. Days are usually in italics, are usually italicized. Preacher, stop it. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That word days are actually italicized. That word last there in the Greek actually means at last. Hallelujah. That is fulfilled. So when you use the word last days, so when will now be the last days? In these last days. Now, that scripture was written over 2,000 years ago. The last days is still until now. Come on now. Even if you cannot borrow brain, borrow sense, and put inside your brain. You know, people just say, hey, in the last days. No. The writer of Hebrew writes for you to see. When he writes, he says, God was sundry time and never man has spoke to the Father through the prophet. At last, he has spoken to us in his Son. That's what he knows. At last, he has spoken to us. Meaning, it is fulfilled. All what they said is fulfilled in the Son. Who he has made heir of all these things. Now, that word heir of all these things means he has made him the possessor of all the words of the prophets. We'll get to see that. I'll begin to look into GPLR. Hallelujah. We're going to explore that word last days. Hallelujah. So I can only give you what? A clue. No, we are getting, we'll be going there little by little till we get to what? GPLR. Hallelujah. So when you get to the scripture and you see last days, it actually means at last. Hallelujah. At last. Glory to God. It's fulfilled. Hallelujah. Okay. So the scripture is explaining Christ. So if I get to scripture and I'm explaining something else outside in Christ, there's a problem. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. I see seed and I say, your money is called seed. You have to water the seed. Your water, the water is money. Pastor. Where is your Isaac? Drop your Isaac. What do you have in your hand? When Moses looked at his hand, what he saw was a rod. He had to jump the rod, and the rod became the serpent. But others see that if you don't drop that thing in your hand, it will remain one. When you drop it, you see the supernatural wonders of God. And you see your movement. Oh my God. Is that explaining Christ? Did I catch you? Any day. Okay. Matthew 28, right? So, it is clear from the words of Jesus that disciples is raised via teaching. Right? And in teaching, also you have how scriptures are explained, the mode of explaining scripture. Right? Hallelujah. So, in teaching, the disciple is taught how scriptures are explained. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Look at, very important, you taught how scriptures are explained. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul to Timothy said, from a child, and from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make me wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So you've known the Holy Scriptures. Look at what he tells him. He said, Paul is telling Timothy, he said, and from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Look at what scriptures are making you wise for. Scriptures are not making you wise to know how to trade. No. No. Making you wise unto what? Salvation. So maybe what is contained in scripture is salvation in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. Timothy. Say from childhood you've known the Holy Scripture, Genesis to Malachi. Right? Say which are able to make thee wise. Now when you use the word scripture, there is the word grammar. Grammar means the content of the writing. Meaning what you have as the content of Genesis to Malachi will be what? concerning salvation in Christ Jesus. This is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 5, Paul said, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That is the summary of Genesis to mankind. See, he was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. So that means if you read scriptures, you will see Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That is what scripture talks about. Stop reading any other meaning into scriptures. Just a few days ago, a young minister, very vibrant, but vibrant. You know what I mean? Vibrant saying nonsense. Sorry to say, but he was saying nonsense. And he put up some funny article, and I went at him. Went at him physically, and went at him spiritually. You know what I mean by spiritually? Spiritually, I went to his inbox, and I blasted him. For not telling him more of God. This is my own revelation of scripture. I say, revelation what? Okay, I told you, okay, go and read scriptures. See, I can appear very... There are some things I say to them, I say, go and read scriptures. I have no Bible. Why be propagating falsely? Yes, now. It's possible they are propagating. I am too young to be doing that nonsense. You're too young. We are too young to be saying some things that they are saying. Hallelujah. Before you die in falsehood, do that thing. Glory to God. He says, see, when a preacher begins to tell you, this is how you are trying to force your revelation of Christ on us. I say, my revelation of Christ, no way. I don't have my partner revelation of Christ. No. We should stop having such notions. It's not like my partner revelation of God. The Bible says, no interpretation of scripture is of, I don't know, scripture is of personal interpretation. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 22. No professor of scripture is of private interpretation. Thank you, bro. Hallelujah. No professor of scripture is of, so meaning I cannot say this is my own personal revelation. I cannot. Hallelujah. This is what the Holy Ghost was telling me. If you come and tell me that, I'll tell you the Holy Ghost that is telling his lying. Amen. Okay, so Paul tells Timothy what is contained in scripture is salvation in Christ Jesus. So that's what you find in scriptures. He now goes down to verses and says all scriptures is given by the what? Inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That word is also invited in the word Pidea and Gankosune. He said that the man of God may be equipped, thoroughly furnished for all good works. Now when he says Pidea and Gankosune, which is instruction in righteousness, that word instruction, Pidea, is a word that actually means training. It's a word you find in Ephesians 6:4. It is for nurturing, father and son relationship, training. You find it also in Hebrews 12 verse 5. It's used for training, chastening, training, how a father trains his son with words. So that means the teaching of the scripture is to bring about spiritual growth. That's what it means. So the reason why scripture is taught is so that you would grow spiritually. Are you hearing me? We bring about spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means scriptures is to bring about spiritual growth. The teaching of scriptures. What is spiritual growth? I want to get this. What is spiritual growth? I'll just give you a nutshell. But we'll have a series on that next year. Spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth is a series that we'll start up next year. Spiritual growth. We'll look at. We've been saying a whole lot about spiritual growth in peace and peace. If you watch our teachings for over 2 years, we're talking about spiritual growth in peace and peace. We want to bring them all together. That's what we do. We say a lot of things in peace and peace, and then we'll bring them all together for you to see the big picture. Are you hearing me? Now, spiritual growth. He says that the man of God may be equipped. Now, thoroughly furnished for all good works. What it means is that spiritual growth can be seen. Now, spiritual growth is not when I come up and I say, my tongues have changed. Baga, 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 gaga. Spiritual growth, no. Bogo do bodo, kaba baba, poom do do de ya. No, that's not spiritual growth. That's not spiritual growth. Said spiritual growth will be seen, and the man of God may be equipped for good works. When spiritual growth will be seen
in the person's ministry. When he says good works, it will be concerning ministry. So in chapter 4, you know, scripture we're not looking in chapters and verses. So if we read chapter 3 into verse 17, look at chapter 4.
Look at chapter 4, verse 4. He said, I charge thee therefore before God, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall judge what?
The quick and the dead. Right?
Who shall judge what?
The quick and the dead.
Okay.
Now, verse 2 is what I'm going to say. Preach
the word. Right? Right? In season and out of
season.
Uh-huh.
Review.
Go ahead. And doctrine. Did you see? Now, who was they referring to in chapter 3? Timothy. Right? That man will be telling you for a woman. Then now tells him that spiritual growth will be seen in him doing what the work of ministry. Preaching. You understand? To be seen in preaching. That is ministry. So spiritual growth to be seen in ministry.
You are growing spiritually not because you are hearing the word alone. You are growing spiritually because the word is producing ministry in you. Are you following me? So spiritual growth to be seen in your work of ministry. Ephesians 6, 11 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. It says that he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the defining of the body of Christ. We all come to the unity of faith and the measure of the status of the fullness of Christ until we become, no more children tossed to a floor, tired about by every wind of doctrine, by the slight of many with the lie in cunning deceitfulness. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things.
Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, in
Ephesians 4, from verse 11 to 16, you see that spiritual growth will be where? In the preaching of the gospel. Do you understand me? Are you following that? Spiritual growth. So, that's the reason why we teach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you are taught, that is Ephesians 4, 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. This is what equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So, we are taught thoroughly so that we can teach others. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2, to the words which you have heard from me among many brethren, say, commit to faithful men, will be able to teach others also. Hallelujah. So, where can spiritual growth be achieved? In the local assembly. Do you understand me? Why? Because the local assembly is where we are taught. You cannot grow spiritually from jumping from one church to another. You cannot grow spiritually by saying, I'm not going to any church, I just want to grow. You cannot grow spiritually by internet ministry. You cannot grow spiritually. I said this. So many people are already being deceived by Satan. They are not calling themselves apostles in marketplace. We are apostles in the marketplace. You know the marketplace, it's my new market. You can't be apostles there. If I don't be an apostle in White Corner, you know where White Corner is. Hallelujah. We said we are apostle in the marketplace. Very soon you start hearing, I said this and I'm still saying, you start hearing the Lord has called me into Facebook ministry. It's happening soon. Facebook ministry. You say, you know, no physical building can house 5 million people. But for my Facebook broadcast, I can reach 5 million people. He said, I am an apostle of the social media. I don't bother doing in these last days. Not in last days. Yama. It's laziness. Laziness to go out and preach. Tell your guy, go out and preach. Cannot go out and preach. You sit on your bed and say, you don't need to go out for GPL, you don't need to do prayer retreat, you don't need to lie on your bed, the Lord is there, you fold your leg on your door, man, gabama, gatondo, I slap you. You go stand 15 hours and pray, Joe. No shaking. Don't pray, man, gabama, you sleep, you wake up, you're standing. Glory to God. No shaking. You are standing. You are praying. Oh, mama. Oh, mama. Oh, I pray. Now you sleep on bed. Come of it. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. So if in the local church, you can achieve that.
You come out of the local church and you are taught. You are taught. You are taught. Not the one you say, don't worry, the pastor will upload it online. Very soon you shall not see any online. It's not a joke. We'll take it off for a while. Learn doctrine, bro.
There are some critical messages we'll be delaying to put online. I'm thinking of that. Critical messages, like the revelation of God. We might take 1 year before we put it online. Let me know. Whether such rhema, you will see it outside. You know, learn to study. That's that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let what is online now be a reference material. Take it a duty to come to a local church where you are taught. You see, honor a place where you are taught the way you are taught here. Honor it. I'm serious. Amen. I've got to a place before. A pastor just came and said, you know,
do you know as a child of God, you have the authority to slap? He said there was a day a policeman wanted to catch him in love. Wanted to search his car.
And the policeman just said, I want to search your car. He said, I'm a clergy. He said, I will search your car, so what? But another said, that came down.
Another said, you search your, but you keep searching. He said, the policeman just said that. Pa, 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 pa. But that way, I couldn't stop. This is what somebody is saying in church, testimony. They're not shameful. Man, the policeman was just going up and down. Going up and down. You were not begging the man of God, please allow him to go. And now God angry. He now gave the guy a slap. The guy brain on his head. Now run away.
Question. No! Question. Imagine that policeman is born again, Holy Ghost speaking, tongue talking. Will you say that nonsense? Let's be. Is. You see, there's some things that when you hear. You just put it in your lap. I cannot say this now because I have a brother who is in police school. Tongue talking Holy Ghost speak. I will not hear it was my brother that they were doing. No, now think about it. Think about it. No, now. The authority of Christ is not for such. It's not for such. No, it's not for such. You don't pride in those things. And you slap the pen and person went away and you were basking. I'm a man of God. And you did not preach. If you have done that, you now say, oh, come. You know what just happened to you is they call the power of God. And you now preach to the person. Hey, I cannot say, hey, this testimony is what you're not getting slapped upon the suffering. You're not slapping. No. Let you use the power of God, right? When the power of God has suspended the natural, don't allow it to go. Minister Christ. Be wise. Such a thing like that, you now call the brother and now minister Christ. Don't say anything and I slapped here. Everybody now say, oh, my pastor. Hey, see the levels.
You see yourself.
Ignorance gone on rampage. Sure.
Let's continue. Amen.
As we begin to round up tonight, until tomorrow, I love the local church. Amen. It's only achieved in the local church. So the ministry gift to be found in the local church, right?
Yes, sir.
And God has said this in the body, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. So you find the ministry gift in the church. So the local church is where we are trained for the work of ministry. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. So if we now go back to Matthew 28, shake and see where we are coming from. Matthew 28. He now says, when we go back to Matthew 28, we can conclude that the local church, we can conclude that in that Matthew 28, when he says, go make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded and lo, I'm with you. So we can now say the local church is where you are taught to observe all what he has commanded you, right?
Yes, sir.
and lo, he is with you always. Where will you find that? In the local church. That's what you are taught. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when it says all authority
has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now we are rounding up. When it says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, go make disciples. First of all, it shows you that that authority is for making disciples. Our authority will be found in the disciples. Do you understand? Follow that. All authority. So that authority is for making disciples. How do we know? What did he say immediately after? He said, authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go make disciples. So the authority of Christ will be found in discipleship. You know what beats people's imagination? And now what we begin to see as we begin that study on the revelation of God. That we might not see it in the first series of seven or third series. That will be when you're in the first series, second series of third series, that will be in 6 years. Because it's once every 2 years. Am I telling you, you might see it from the 8 years. 8 years of today. But you might see it between and I will teach you. Now, but you know what baffles the mind of people? Like the same thing too that baffled the mind of the Ethiopian Enoch when he was going and was reading the scroll. Is the fact that you know everybody expects the Messiah when he comes, one powerful guy, the Messiah, the King of Kings. You know, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The what do you call it? Agidiba one or Chendo one. Well, what again? What does it mean? Abanla, Abanla. You are expecting it to come. When it comes like this, who is that? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battles. No. They never expected it. They expected the Lord of peace. I wonder if it's funny. He came. He was born in a manger. You know, that is baffling. They didn't even have money to pay for hospital. He was born in a manger. You know, that is baffling. The wise men came. They asked them to give for the king. They made the king in his house. The king was born in the manger. How did you follow this? The King of Kings. When Pilate asked him, are you the King of the Jews? You know, are you a king? And he said, you said so. Yeah, but if my kingdom is of this world, then my father would have sent angels and they would have delivered me off your hand. I'm maybe giving you clips. The world will begin to discuss in years to come. And I believe by God's grace, we'll start discussing that from next year's years. Hallelujah. Along this line, but not this. But concerning the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. You know, together, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, he was surprised. Pilate was surprised. The king? God himself! John said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. God became a man. The powerful God became a man. That God that they thought was the one that caused earthquakes, that destroyed the world and amended and did a whole lot of things. That God. That they thought, when God do point you, you know when we're starting. Don't point me because if God points you, you will die. No, no, say no talk. Say, God, I will not let this pew. Your life is gone. That God now came and men killed God. God died in the hands of sinful men. Could this be God? God died in the hands of men. They spat on him, they flogged him. You know that was what those Roman soldiers were dancing. Look at your God. They were flogging him. They were whipping God. They were whipping. Hallelujah. You know this is baffling. Say, my kingdom is of this world. He showed his kingdom has got nothing to do with what men are doing. His kingdom is not of this world. Hallelujah. In Luke 17, he told them, the kingdom of God is with man. It's in man. Hallelujah. He died. He gave up the ghost. God died. For God. God to die shows that God is not involved in death. He died. For God to die means God has never killed any man. God died. Baffling, right? I now rose. But you know, that power was not manifested on the third day. Death could be moved. He resurrected. And now tells you, all authority has been given to me. It didn't say go and kill Pilate. It didn't say go and cast out Caesar or kill Herod. It said go make disciples. The same word he spoke to Cephas before he died. He says, you will see the Son of Man, rising up in his kingdom. And they saw it in the resurrection. Men scattered all over, preaching the gospel. From 120, in Acts 2, they became 3,000. In Acts 5, they became 5,000. In Acts 8, they said, multitudes. Hallelujah. His kingdom is filling the whole earth. That is his authority. That is his power. Hallelujah. And that brings back the prophecy of the prophet. He says, the earth shall be filled with his glory, like the waters cover the sea. When he says, like the waters cover the sea, he talks about the nations of the earth will be filled with the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
That is the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. We've got no authority over Buhari or anybody. No! Our authority is in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We are involved with reconciling men from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. We are in God's number one business. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're in God's number one business. So he says, God make disciples. God raise disciples. This is the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 So we've got your authority. In the resurrection, we've got your authority. Before the resurrection, what he gave to them in Luke 9. In Matthew 10, was a delegated authority. Hallelujah. He gave them a delegated power to act on. But now, in the resurrection, we don't have delegated authority. We have the legal right. The legal right to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We've got the legal right to use the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when men are saved, you dispel the works of darkness in that location. How do you know that? There's darkness in the place. You go with the word of God. When men are saved, you are bringing light there. Hallelujah. We dispel the works of darkness with the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. No fear here. No fear at all. Hallelujah. We are headstrong.
Yes.
Vision unshaken. Hallelujah. Head strong. Focused. All the earth with all the gospel of Christ. With the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We have the legal right to use the name. From our previous studies, which is the last CRC and the one before, we have just 15 minutes or thereabouts to go. Hallelujah. Our previous study, we saw the seat of authority of Christ. What is it? The seat of authority is in the believer. That is Matthew 19:28. Look at that Matthew 19:28. I need you to look at it critically. Matthew 19:28. Ha ha ha. Whoo! All the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters covers the sea. All the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of his glory of the Lord, just like the waters covers the sea. Hallelujah. Matthew 19:28. Are you there?
So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, what is in the regeneration? What does it mean? In the resurrection, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me also will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah. What does he mean by the word thrones? We explained that in our previous study. That was what I asked us to listen to, right? Right? We listened to that study, right? In the course of the week. Last week, to be precise. Right? So, we said that word throne is the word thronos in the Greek. It's used for a seat of authority. We saw that in Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, when Jesus spoke to Cephas, the chief priest. Look at Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. I want you to see that quickly. Verse 31. It says, then the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. He was speaking concerning the resurrection. And this, and did Cephas see that? He saw it. Hallelujah. When they flogged the children of Israel, when they flogged the 12 disciples, they flogged them. Because why did they flog them? They were preaching. Hallelujah. They didn't stop. 3,000 were saved. 5,000 were saved. They multiplied their speed. Hallelujah. And he got to go from place to place. Samaria was rich. Antioch was rich. Hallelujah. Around the whole place. Hallelujah. It's just Jesus all over. Jesus all over. Hallelujah. At the point they told them, they said you are corrupting the whole place with this your doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. That is the throne of his glory. Hallelujah. That word throne is used for a seat from which he carries out his authority, his rule rather. That word throne is used for a seat from where he carries out his rule and power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, where is that throne? That throne is in us. Hallelujah. That word throne is used for where he's sitting. Where is Jesus sitting today? John 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. John 14, 16. Say, when the Spirit of truth shall come. Right? No, I will pray and I will pray the Father. And he will give you another comforter. That he may abide with you forever. What? He said, even the Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive. Say, but you, because he never sees him but knows him. But you know him. For he shall live with you, I shall dwell in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So, in the new verse, who has come to us? Jesus has come to you. Hallelujah. In verses 23. Let's echo verse 23 together. And in that day, Read verse 20. You will know I am in the Father.
And you in me. And I in you.
Hallelujah. So where is Jesus?
In me.
Hallelujah. Where is Jesus? Is in me. So where is his throne? Where is his throne? In me. Hallelujah. His throne is the seat of authority. So Christ's seat of authority is in me. Hallelujah. So this is why I have the legal right to use his authority. To use that authority. The believers or the authority of Christ is the believer's authority. Because that authority is in the believer. And our authority primarily is for the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. So the authority of Christ is with me. So when I sing the In Him reality song, I must have in my mind that the authority of Christ is in you. It's something to be joyous about. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.